We've done this series called Naturally Supernatural, yeah? Where we're believing in the power of the name of Jesus. We're believing that when we pray, God can do some stuff. That when we pray in his name, he might actually show up and do some stuff. And that when we sense something and we're asking him to speak, do you know what? We expect him to start speaking. And we have our response is to do something with that. Whether we're going to look stupid or whether we're going to look like we have a clue what we're talking about doesn't really matter. We've just our responsibility is to speak out that which we sense God is doing. And when we were here last time, I think it was, we were speaking about Naturally Supernatural, and I can't remember which talk it was, but Wendy, who's away this week, but she came and started reading from 1 Corinthians 13 about God's love. And it struck me. Wow, God's love. Here we are talking about these gifts that God's given us. And it goes on in the next chapter to talk about God's love. And so I went back and just looked at some of these scriptures. And I noticed every time that Paul writes, two major places that Paul writes, he writes in Romans and he writes in Corinthians about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The very next chapter or the very next section of verses, he goes on to speak about God's love. And so I wanted to just do a series just around the theme of God's love, called Love Without Limits. Because I think God's speaking into the way we do church, the way we do life. Let me just read these verses to you. And I'm going to paraphrase all the stuff I've got written. It's like the longest amount of notes I've had for any talk, but it's the shortest amount of time. So we're praying that God will speak to you. Is that all right? Let me just read these verses. It says, let love be genuine. Thank you. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. Can I just say, a church without crying is dying. That's what I'm going to say. Church without kids screaming. Can't think of a word that rhymes with screaming, but we'll go with it. I lost where I was, but rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who rejoice, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Behold, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow, that's a powerful few verses, isn't it? A love without limits. I want to talk to you this morning around the collection of talks that I'm going to do called A Love Without Limits, and I just want to title this Faking It. Have you ever tried to fake it? I tried to fake it a few years ago. I decided that I was going to be Lance Armstrong. I love Lance Armstrong. Well, I did, until we found out why he was so good. And I used to watch him on the Tour de France and think, yeah, I can do that. I can be Lance Armstrong. So I got all the clobber. I got a really nice bike. Oh, it's raining money around here. Superb. If that's somebody's. If not, it's the Lord is just leaving £5 notes around. So I bought the bike and I got all the clobber. I got I was going to say spandex. That's wrong, isn't it? The latex. What is it? What's the stuff that you wear? Latex. Is it? Lycra. That's the word. The Lycra. So I got the Lycra and everything. And so I'm cycling along thinking, yeah, I look like Lance Armstrong. Everyone's going to think I'm him. Because if I just look the part, at least then everyone will believe that I am the part. And I bought these pedals, which I didn't know what I was doing. But they're these pedals that you buy special shoes for. Have you ever seen cyclists walking around like they can't walk properly? It's because they've got these clips on the front of their shoes. And these pedals you clip your feet into. So I'm going to go off on a bike ride. I'm thinking, right, you clip your feet in, fantastic. And I get going. What I don't realize is I have no idea how to get my feet out of the pedals. So I'm cycling along. This is complete. I ain't even thinking about it. I'm just cycling along and I go past all these cars and I come to some traffic lights and I think, right, just use the brakes. It's one of these fancy ones with the handlebars under there. So I'm using the brakes and I come to a stop and I have no idea how to get my feet out of the pedals. I'm like, well, they clipped in. Surely they'll just clip back out again. And literally, I knew I'd got something wrong when all I did was this and fell straight into a grass verge. See, all the guys in the car were just, I could tell they were laughing at me, just thinking, and you thought you looked stupid enough in Lycra, now you're just laying a hedge. See, I was faking it. I do not like cycling. Freewheeling down a hill, fantastic. Watching the Tour de France, love it. Think they're amazing. But cycling, it's just not me. I was faking it. See, Paul starts this verse. He says, let your love be genuine. Let your love be genuine. See, that is to say, when you love, really love. Paul's been writing about these gifts. And he's basically been saying, guys, this Christianity is a don't do it when you feel like it. This is a get on and do it kind of Christianity that I'm calling you to. Those with the gift to teach, then teach. Those with leadership, lead with zeal. He's saying, you know, guys, if you're going to teach, don't just turn up and stand at the front and say whatever comes in your head. You've got to prepare. You've got to teach and admonish and do it to the best of your ability. Give everything you've got over to it. If you're called to serve coffee at the end of a service, do it with every bit of flair, care, and energy that you've got. Give it all to him. That's what he's saying. And he then says the same thing about our love. Let your love be genuine. Stop trying to fake it. Stop trying to be something you are not. See, following Jesus isn't just a hobby. It's a divine calling. Let your love be genuine. That word actually means to be unhypocritical. Let your love be unhypocritical. The picture language of that word is like an actor. We live in Shakespeare land. We understand acting, don't we? See, an actor at the time would have worn different masks, different costumes, but played the been the same person, but played multiple roles. So they're the hero, then they're the villain, then they're the jovial sidekick, all wearing different costumes. But the reality is, who actually are they? Who are they? I wonder if the temptation is the same for us. We get good at playing different roles. Oh, Sunday morning, 90 minutes, whack the church face on, happy days. Yeah, I'll pray for you. God bless you. Our God is greater. Yeah. God is for us. Then who? And then Monday morning kicks in. And the complacency mask comes on, or the compromise mask comes on. All the different characters that we play come on. Let me speak to my own kind for a minute. Those of us that are perhaps seen to be spiritual. Who am I when I'm preaching? Am I the same when I'm at home parenting? The masks that we wear. Let your love be without masks, Paul is saying. Just be genuine. 1 Corinthians 13, another passage after Paul has been speaking about these gifts. He goes on in the Peterson's Message version. He says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than it does self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep a score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowing of truth, puts up with everything, trusts God always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Wow, there's a challenge, isn't it? We often hear that love is patient, love is kind. That's the translation of it. We hear it at weddings, don't we? Great to read on the day of a wedding. What happens about 22 years later? What about our friendship? What about in church? Oh, but John, you don't realize they really hurt me. Can I just tell you, if you stay and you commit to a church for long enough, you will be hurt. Can I just tell you that? You will be hurt, and you probably will also hurt. Because there is no perfect church, because I'm your pastor and your regular attenders and members of this church. So if we hang around long enough, if we let our love be genuine, then actually the reality is we're actually saying, do you know what? At some point I'm going to get hurt, but I'm willing to drop the mask. I'm willing to be vulnerable. See, this word, I'm sure you know it, this word that Paul uses here is the Greek word agape. That was a little known word at the time. In the church, we know that now. We have ministries called agape this and agape ministries here, and let's talk about agape love. But the word at the time is a little known word. Do you know why it was a little known word? Because the Christians, the Jesus followers of the day, needed a word that would describe the love of God that was totally other. So they said, we need to find a word that is completely other than all the other love that we experience. That is far deeper than brotherly love, but it's not sexual love. What? There's that word agape. Let's use that. And the Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to use this little known word at the time to say we need a word that is completely other to describe this love that is completely other. Looks beyond the mask. Isn't based on feelings or wants. It goes beyond that which is expected. It looks forward. It doesn't look back. It's a love that's willing to be vulnerable, a love that is willing to risk being hurt. Look around. It's a love that needs to be between you and you, between you and you, between me and yourself. The community Paul is writing to is a community of both Jews and Greek Jesus followers. And the Jews had been expelled out of Rome because they'd been infighting. They'd been basically rioting in the streets. And they'd been fighting about between those that believed Jesus was the Messiah and those that didn't believe. And so I think it was the Emperor Claudius, if my history is right. He expels them out of Rome and says, guys, I can't be doing with your bickering. Go. But by the time Paul is writing this, small groups of Jesus-following Jews are coming back into Rome, and they're coming back into the church, a church which is led by Gentiles, a church that is predominantly made up of non-Jewish Jesus followers. These are people that culture says you shouldn't get on. These are people that say society says you should not really be, your whole history, your culture says you are not for each other. You really shouldn't be on the same side. But Paul says with a loud voice, let your love be genuine. Love one another. Church, our call as a church is to love one another to such a degree that those of us from different cultural backgrounds, different nations, different social backgrounds, what we hold to our norms, what we think is normal in society, we're all coming together. Can I just be honest with you? There is probably no way in the history of humanity that I would be in the same room with some of the people that are in here now if it wasn't for the church. Not because I don't like you. It's just that how would our paths ever cross? But the church brings us together. And the church causes us to love one another. And we can reflect to the world and say, do you know what? We have one thing in common. And it allows our love for each other to be genuine. People from different backgrounds, different ages, different social classes, conventions and norms. And that's not just those that have been here for 40 years. That's as other new people come in that we're like, ooh, they tread on my nice little Christian norm. Wow, they've just trampled all over that. What's that about? Ouch, that hurt. Yeah, let your love be genuine. Yeah, it's what Paul's calling us to. To love the new starters and to love those that have been here since Noah was a boy. Dropping the mask, dropping the pretense, stop faking it. It's exhausting anyway, isn't it? Let's be honest, faking it is exhausting. Look at our nation, look at our town. It's exhausting trying to fake it, and it isn't working. Instead, the community to the church is to be an example in loving one another with a sincere love that never gives up, cares more for others than it does itself, doesn't want what it doesn't have, doesn't strut, isn't always me first, looks always for the best. But can I just be honest for a minute? I read that and I'm like, yeah, but the alternative sounds pretty exhausting as well. I'm just being real, just dropping the mask. That's what we're called to love like, but I'm like, faking it's exhausting, but the alternative sounds just, if not more, exhausting. It's just like, John, you've got to be nice to them. You've been commanded to be nice to them. Right, John, I'm just going to... Right, it's Monday morning. It's Sunday morning. It's 5:30. I've just woken up, which was this morning, by the way, just for those that don't think I'm spiritual. I was up at 5:30. I was laying in bed praying, but I was praying. Just commanded to love them. Come on, John, just fake it till you make it. Just put on a smart, put on a happy face. That's just what you got to do. Because I'm a church leader and I've got to love them. But doesn't that make me a hypocrite? Love unhypocritically. So if I fake it, then I'm just being a hypocrite. What if I don't feel like loving that person? I just got to fake it. Just got to pretend that I love them. How about the opposite? Those people that just always seem like they're smiling. Those Christians that never have a bad day. Just want to bless them with the fivefold ministry. Just have a bad day, would you please? Just drives me mad. Just, you're always happy. But they fake it, they just put on a smile, just faking it. See, the love that Paul is talking about is more about what people do than how they feel. See, they needed this word that was totally other because they'd experienced a love that was totally other. Can I just say this? The only way we can let our love be genuine towards each other is by allowing the love of God to be genuine towards us. The only way I can turn up on a Sunday and turn up midweek for stuff and genuinely love the church and the people in the church is because the love of God is genuine towards me. And for when I don't deserve it, those that come across our path are like, you don't deserve my love. I need to ponder and I need to stop And I need to remember, see, Jesus says it like this. He says, this is my commandment in John 15, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is our model of love. Love one another as I have loved you. A few verses before that, in verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. He was so consumed with the love of the Father that it overflowed out of him and impacted those around. And he says, as the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. You know, the only way that we can genuinely have love for one another is by abiding in his love. Abiding isn't as complicated as you think it is. It means to pause, to ponder, to pray, to proclaim, to pursue. Wow, in that moment where I genuinely feel like I don't want to love that person, God, I'm just reminded of your love right now. That in the moments when I don't feel like loving you, God, your love for me is still genuine. Your love for me is still sincere. It never wavers. So God, I'm going to abide in that love. That's the love I'm going to pursue. That's the love that right now I'm just going to pause and reflect. And suddenly as that love overwhelms me, the love that I have for others starts to overflow out. And my love becomes genuine. Your ability to love is proportionate to your ability to abide. Your ability to love is proportional to your ability to abide. It's about being in his love. Oh, that we would proclaim his love to the point that it becomes our love. That's where it starts. That's where it's genuine. How capricious, how incompatible, how changeable is a love that is dependent on my feelings? How fickle is that kind of love? Oh, I don't feel like it today. It's going to be moody to everybody because I'm having a bad day. Let your love be genuine. Let it be unhypocritical. Let it be sincere. Well, it just changes depending on how I feel, whatever mask I'm wearing. But instead, when we come and are overwhelmed by the love of God that never changes, suddenly it starts to be sincere. That's the place of genuine love. For those early Jesus followers, this love was a love that directly met the needs of those around them, practically. This isn't just saying a few nice words. This was those that didn't have received from those that had, practically, financially, hand deep in pockets. It costs. It's a love that costs. It's the love that we're called to do. Do you know that for Jesus followers, it is possible to decide to help someone whether you like them or not? We should stop letting the world's definition of love define us that says you need to wait for that fuzzy little feeling when you think, oh, I like him now. I really like you. Should we sit and just chill out and go to the cinema and, oh, you want a burger? Yeah, I'll buy you a burger. Let me buy you a burger. I'll get the coffee, my shout. I'll get it. Because I feel something now. Church, if we wait around for that fuzzy feeling, do you know what? We'll never get anything done. There's a great quote from an Irish statesman. It's a guy called Edmund Burke, and he was sort of a philosopher and statesman. He said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is that good men should do nothing. I find it fascinating that Paul says, let your love be genuine, and then he goes on to talk about, abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good. That after that statement of genuine love, he goes on then to talk about good and evil, maybe actually saying that the love that is genuine is the difference between that which is good and that which is evil. See, he's saying, hate that which is wrong, hold tightly to that which is good. The language here that Paul uses when he says cling to that which is good is the language of marriage. He's saying, be wholly devoted to that which is good. Be committed to that which is good. Be united. Fix your attention on that which is good. Passionately pursue. Be more committed to that which is good than that which is evil. And for Christians in the room, we get that, don't we? Yeah, I get it. Love good, hate bad. Choose good. But you notice that Paul doesn't say, choose against evil and choose good. Paul is saying the evidence of our commitment to that which is good is that we hate that which is evil. Nice little solo on the guitar. Let me say that again. The evidence of our commitment to that which is good is that we hate that which is evil. Love, in order to be genuine, also has to hate. has to hate that which is evil, has to hate that which is wrong. But how do I know the difference between good and evil? What is good and what is evil? You know, 30 years ago, the stuff that society says is okay now, well, that was evil then. So which culture is right? How do we know? How about this? Do I say I'm committed to good, yet I find myself flirting with evil? What your eyes see, what your mouth speaks, where you consistently allow your mind to go. Are we cracking open a door that really should be staying closed? Can I just tell you, if you crack open the door, don't be surprised if you fall through it. It's closed for a reason. Am I more committed to good, yet I find myself flirting with evil? Do I say I'm more committed to good, yet I find myself justifying my behavior? Oh, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. God's grace is great, isn't it? God, you show me in your Bible where it tells me that I shouldn't do that. Trying to justify our behavior. Do I say I'm more committed to good, yet I find myself avoiding evil? See, loathing, abhorring evil doesn't just mean ignoring it. Doesn't just mean simply avoiding it. The injustices in this world, the hunger, the slavery, the church persecution, the racism. Let's put this on a grand scale. We're called to hate that which is evil. Not just say, well, it's not nothing to do with me. It's not on my doorstep. Hate that which is evil. I think some of these issues are big to God because they are big to the heart of God because they affect his children. And they should be issues to us that say, we hate that. That is not us. Not, well, it happens over there. It's nothing to do with us. Church, if our love really is genuine, it's not enough to convince ourselves and everybody else of our goodness. We must stand against that which is evil. That which says that somebody else is better based on where they're from. Something that says somebody else is better based on the language they speak or the color of their skin or what they believe. We're told to cling to that which is good by hating that which is evil. And that does not mean we take to Facebook and have a good rant. Come on, let's go to coffee and have a really good rant about the evil in the world. Let's tweet about it. 140 characters, I'm sure I can say something. The end of this verse, Paul is saying, overcome evil with good. How do we hate that which is evil? We overcome it with good. How do we expel the darkness? We shine the light. Instead of just complaining about how dark it is. Let your love be genuine. By abiding in Christ to the degree that his ways become our ways, his thoughts become our thoughts. It's what Paul's talking about at the start of this chapter. Romans 12, I think it's verse 2. People know it really well. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to determine that good, perfect, and pleasing will. See, the will of God is good. The will of God is pleasing. How do we determine that? Well, let me tell you, I've been married for 9 years. Less than some of you, more than others. Been married for 9 years. Can I tell you, I know when Cara doesn't want to go somewhere or do something. Cara got a great idea, let's go and do this. Okay, we're not going to go and do that. It's not even a look. Just carrying on doing what she's doing. Okay, we'll pretend that I didn't say that. See, I know her. I know what she wants to do. I know her will because I have a relationship with her. How do we know the will of the Father? Same thing, it's a relationship. Abide in me. Let my love overflow your love to the point where it's genuine, to the point where you don't even need to justify your behavior. You don't even need to say, oh, God, I'm more committed to good than to that which is evil because you know the will of God. You know his will. And you know that is going to be good and that is going to be pleasing. It's who we're called to be. If you want the full notes of a 50-minute talk, I can send those to you. But I just want to end with this. Just close your eyes. So in my just time reading God's word, I've got like a systematic way of just that I just read through the Bible, and God so often links things through. And I'm reading Luke 10. And I'm reading of this, who I believe is a Jewish lawyer that comes to Jesus. And he starts quizzing Jesus. And he says to him in Luke 10, he says, "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? What do I need to do?" And Jesus answers with a question. What's written in the law? How do you interpret it? And this flashy lawyer, I mean, he's obviously studied the scriptures. He knows his stuff. He knows the right answer. Because he says that you would love the Lord your God with all your passion and all your prayer and all your muscle, all your intelligence, your body, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, good answer. Ting, 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 10 points for you. Now just go and do it. As if we could do that in our own strength. Just you go and do that. You know the answer. Now go and do it. Let love be genuine. Let my love be genuine. As if we could do that in our own strength apart from God. And I was reading it in the Message version, and verse 29 of this passage in Luke 10, it says, looking for a loophole. Looking for a loophole, he said, and how would you define neighbor? Just define neighbor. Is it the person that's like in the house next door to me? Maybe it's the people in my street. Maybe that's who my neighbors are. Person that sits next to me in church. Rage, get on with each other. That's my neighbor. Maybe it's the people in my town or my nation. Can you just define neighbor for me? Looking for a loophole to make it easier. Make this love that we're called to, that's meant to be genuine, to try and make that a little bit easier, to make it palatable. Some versions say seeking to justify himself. Church, the life of a love without limits that is mask-free is one that is bended knee at the foot of the cross. The place of surrender, the place of confession, the place of humility, that is where our love genuinely has to start. I tell you, this isn't somewhere you can find a loophole. Ah, there it is. If I just jump through that, I've got it. That's me in. I'm sorted. Woo! Yes, I'm in. I've got it. I've got that eternal life thing because I got it. I got it nailed. I'm in. Church, this is a community project. This is a community project. It's about us loving and being loved, loving someone enough to say, hey, if you do that, it's going to really mess it up. Oh, thanks for sharing that. I know that that's coming from a place because you genuinely do love me. Instead of us trying to look for a loophole to make sure I make it, I'm in. So this lawyer looks for a loophole. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus' response, I think, is part of pursuing what a life of genuine love looks like, of hating that which is evil and clinging to that which is good. And essentially, through a parable, Jesus tells him, it's less about who is your neighbor and more about being neighborly to everybody that comes across your path. Do you notice in that parable, the religious one just walks straight past? It's the one that society says, you're not meant to get on. You're meant to hate him. Samaritan, stop him for a Jew. You're not meant to care. You're not meant to love. Let your love be genuine. Church, we can all speak in the tongues of men and angels and have worship times like we've just had. Fantastic times together. Little echo of heaven. We can prophesy until the cows come home. But if we've not got genuine love that first comes from Jesus and hates that which is wrong and is wholeheartedly committed to that which is good, can I tell you what this church is? Just a whole lot of noise pollution. This is a doing kind of love that puts its hands in its pockets even when it feels like it doesn't want to. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Oh, will you take this cup from me? Oh, really, really wish this wasn't your will. But for the joy set before him, endured all things. Church, I'm really excited about studying some verses in Romans 12 that starts off with, let your love be genuine. And I just wonder, in this moment, we are going to finish now. The plane is landed. We're just waiting for the baggage to come off and we're walking down to get it. Trust you. Trust me, even. We're going to get off soon. But I just wonder in this moment whether you need to just come and say, I need to be overwhelmed by your love again, Jesus. I just need to be overwhelmed as we start looking at this love without limits. And there's going to be some stuff in there that's challenging. Let me tell you, it's challenging me as I'm just journeying through it now. I just wonder whether there's some of us that just need to come back and say, Jesus, I just need to abide. That is to say, I just need to be overwhelmed by your love. The love the Father had for you meant that you could love me. And now I'm just struggling to even love you, let alone love others. I just wonder if we need to come back to a place of abiding. So just in this space, in this moment right now, in the quietness of your heart, just let the mask drop before God. The mask that says I've got to look like I've got it all together. The mask that says to be spiritual is this. Just let God speak deep into your heart. I just wonder whether some experienced that genuine love but has since been looking for a loophole. Just to make it a little bit easier. It's just too hard. Are you struggling with it? Holy Spirit, right now, I just pray, as we were singing just a little while ago, open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Just pray your love right now. Just unzip heaven and pour it out. Lord, that is the starting place. I just wonder whether some are sitting there thinking about something completely different. Maybe mobile phones are going off. He's thinking, oh, well, I've been here before. Come on, John, get on with it. I want my lunch. Let's go. Lord, just captivate our hearts. Just a fresh sense of your love. God, I thank you that your love for us never wavers. Your love for us is always genuine. Your love for us is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I just pray as a church. Lord, you teach us what it is to love like you do. Lord, not trying to fake it until we make it. Not seeking to be hypocritical. But just being overwhelmed by your love that never gives up, that loves and cares more for others than it does for self, doesn't want what it doesn't have, doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep a score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowing of truth. Puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Thank you, Lord, for that kind of love. Now overwhelm us as we draw things to a close here this morning. Overwhelm us with your love this week. Teach us what it is. And I just sense, God, actually, it might put you in some circumstances where the love that you have suddenly does get exposed. That I'm not loving them. You're not gonna, who do you think I am? Am I going to walk all over? I'm not going to love them. He's saying, yeah, but I was walked all over for you. I'm not going to allow myself to get hurt by them. Yeah, but John, do you know what? I had nails shoved in my hands for you. And through those moments, God would start to reveal his love for us, and that love would be overwhelm us to the point where it impacts those around us. Let our love be genuine. Church, we're going to draw things to a close. It's time has gone, more than gone. We need to be packing up. But if you want some prayer right now, then I just encourage you just come down the front here and we'd love to pray with you. We're going to leave offering somewhere, maybe just on the sound desk there if you'd love to give this morning and just want to sow into what God's doing here and give, then please, as you're leaving, you can just drop that in that bucket. That would be fantastic. Guys, we've overrun. But I just want to encourage you this week. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Guys, be blessed. But in doing so, just bless others with his love. Amen.